I'm going to finish up speaking about the fruit of the Spirit. And we're going to be talking again from Galatians 6. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its, passions and desires. Lord God, we need you. We read this list, Lord God, that tell us what you want our lives to reflect. You want us to know your love. Your word tells us that God is love. You want us to have joy, which we know isn't circumstantial, but it's knowing that I have a right relationship with you, God, through your Son, Jesus Christ. That at the end of my days, I'm going to spend eternity with you. Lord, there's peace, patience, kindness, goodness, there's faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We can read these words, and I do not believe there's anybody in this room that would say, yeah, I got all of that down pat. But Lord, we're not here to be discouraged by where we need to grow. We are here to be encouraged that your hand is upon us, that you are showing us where you want us to be. As we relinquish our lives to you, Lord, we will end up there. So, Lord, I pray that you would have your way with us today. In your name, amen. You know, one of the things I want to talk about today is attitude matters. My brother was a sports editor, and he has a lot of inside scoop talking to people. And we got together this week, and he was telling me that there's a major college basketball program. And at the end of last season, the coach went into the locker room after the last game. Talented team, but a bunch of malcontents and a bunch of prima donnas. And I thought in today's day and age, this was cool. The coach goes in, he goes, boom, boom, seven people, you're done. You're not part of this team anymore. One guy went into the pros and made it. The other six had to transfer because he knew that attitude matters. How we portray and how we live says a lot about who we are, and says a lot about our faith. You know, John 17, 16 says, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. We're not of the world. I live in Oswego, New York. I've been here off mainly since 1980. But I'm of the kingdom of heaven. I don't want to represent Oswego. I want to represent Jesus Christ. And what Paul is saying here is, let me say it frankly, we got to get over ourselves. We got to get over our opinions. We got to get over living to please me. And one of the things that's hard is, I found this Christian thing, God does not care if it's convenient for me. You know, I mean, the other day we were asked to help out a family member because our little granddaughter was sick, and my daughter, just started school. They needed a baby. We got up at 4:15 in the morning. Nobody should ever get up at 4:15 in the morning. It is ungodly. I don't even think God's awake at that hour, you know, because we had to drive an hour and a half. It wasn't convenient to do what we knew we had to do. Actions speak louder than words. We have to strive, and that is not a negative word. We have to strive to show Jesus by the way we live. I have to strive to show Jesus when I'm in the grocery store and once again I picked the wrong stinking line to get out of. I am getting old, so I can relate to this. It drives me batty when you see somebody, they pay and everything. Just take your money and walk over there and put it in your purse. But no, they got to put all the bills right in the coin. And you're waiting for 5 minutes for them to leave, and you want to kick them and say, move it, lady. But that's where God says, are you reflecting me? Or driving. I don't know if you guys ever get upset when you drive, but what does your life reflect? Or talking to other people when you're tired and they ask you the same question time after time after time. Or when you talk about politics. Woo! It might not go the way you want it to because this nation is under judgment. Can we believe that for not turning to Jesus Christ? Guess what? I've read the book. It doesn't get any better. But my God's alive. And I know regardless of what happens, he has his thumb on the pulse. And I pray for a great revival in this country. That they turn back, we get back God into the schools. We get God back, not small g either, I'm talking about Jesus Christ. We get him back into the government. But what I want to talk about today is we have to live with awareness. We have to learn to take a step back and not to live lives that focus on us. You know, the first point I want to make is don't try, rely. Jesus, as I said earlier, said to his disciples, pick up your cross daily. You know what they knew about the cross? When you saw somebody walking through town with a cross, they were about to die. So when Jesus Christ says to his disciples, pick up your cross daily, he is telling them, die to yourself. Die to being the center of your world. That encouragement needs to extend to us today. You know, Jesus, you know, again, I don't want you guys to leave church feel like you've been beaten up. I want you to leave to be encouraged. That God is saying, man, I'm pulling back the veil of what I have for you. And you can watch your world just explode with Jesus. You know, this encouragement is to us. God is giving us the freedom. It's not by you and me trying harder. That's works of the flesh. Isn't it funny how in Galatians 5, it's works of the flesh and fruit of the Spirit. Because we only get fruit when we do it Jesus' way. And I rely upon him. You know, one of the things that Galatians 3:3 says, are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? And if you look at Galatians, they're being hoodwinked by a bunch of Judaizers who are trying to make the Christians get more Jewish, talk about circumcision, yada, yada, yada. And Paul is saying, are you nuts? You can't do it. I can't get there from here on my own accord. I will fail every single time. And one of the words that we talked about is goodness. Goodness has been defined as love in action. Do you betray goodness to people? Did you betray crankiness to people? If somebody has defined you, say, hey, man, that's a good person. I got me a friend. He used to be a basketball coach in D.C., Bobby Fields. I hope he could come up here someday. He's the nicest person I think I've ever met. And he's just, I mean, I remember when he was on the team at Morrisville College, and I was a spectator, but I remember we're playing basketball, and I'm watching one day, and the team's practicing, and he makes some mistake, and he goes, oh, my goodness. Now, I'm sorry, most college players wouldn't have used the word goodness. They would have used some four-letter word. So God calls us to be good. You know what a characteristic of goodness is? Generosity. Christians, we need to be generous. You need to be generous with your time. Many of you have been here cleaning the church, helping us. It's been remarkable. Your talent, you know, we talked about gifts and we're going to revisit that, but God makes each one of you a certain way. And if he calls you to this church, it's for you to take your talents and serve God in this church. we ought to be careful. Some talents and some giftings are more public than others, but that doesn't mean they're more important. It doesn't mean they're more necessary. And another place we got to be generous is treasure. Now, I don't talk about money a lot, and I'm not going to spend much time here today. It's my personal belief it's a minimum of 10% of growth that we need to give. Because when I give to God, and I've said this for years, when Melody and I get to a place where we have arranged our budget and we're comfortable in our giving, that is when God says, okay, let's ramp it up a little more. And can I tell you, it doesn't always excite me. I said, God, if I did it my way and not your way, I could have a Lexus. But Jesus is my Lexus, and I'm going to obey him. So a kind of goodness, you know, we have to get over, I got to be me. That is not God's mentality. I got to be he. I want people to look at me and see the reflection of Jesus Christ. Now, it's cool because when Paul called the Galatians to show kindness and goodness, he knew he was asking them to be radically different from the environment they were in. And one of the things I'm talking about, kindness, what can we do as a church that's kind? One of the things you just heard Kathy talk about, Operation Christmas Child. I love the fact that maybe some of you are sitting there going, what can we do locally? And don't raise your hand, but if that is you, you got to be excited because God is telling you to do something. God isn't telling you, hey, something has to be done locally, go tell the pastor. No! Sometimes God raises our awareness because he wants us to serve him. We are called to be kind, and that means sometimes we got to be nice to people when you've had a tough day. And you got to be kind to people when they ask you really stupid questions. God is calling us to portray him. What can we do corporately as a church? And this was my prayer. Yes, we have second chances. Yes, you know, we support Days in House. We support various ministries. But I'm also, and we have the Christian school. And I think it's time that our church got more involved with the Christian school. I don't know what that means, if it means cleaning, if it means tutoring. But you know, I love seeing the other churches that have gotten involved since we've gotten a new principal. But I'm saying, Lord, we got to step up. What do you want us to do? Lord, what do you want me to do as an individual? And I know this is hard. I remember the first time I was asked to join Barnabas Ministries and go to Ghana in a pastor's conference. I don't like doing that because every time I went, I had a panic attack when I'm preaching. And I knew I was going to have a panic attack when I'm preaching. When you're up there and you're preaching to hundreds of pastors or whatever, I knew the enemy was going to attack me. But I knew God wanted me to do it. But a good friend of mine, Pete Mayer, was always on the team, and I'd give him the look. And then I'd walk away, and I knew he'd be in the back praying for me. You see, it can't be about my comfort. I don't want to be in front of people. When I first prayed and I knew the Lord wanted me to work for the church, Melody and I prayed, Lord, I want to be in the background. Well, God has a sense of humor. Because an overweight elementary kid that had to take speech lessons, guess what? God wanted me to do something else. And even though I'm uncomfortable, I'm going to say, Lord, it has to be you. So I look and say, Lord, what can New Covenant Community Church to do for this community? I know a lot of us are advanced in our experience with God. What am I saying? You're old, like me. It doesn't mean we sit on the sidelines. It means I say, God, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to spend my day? Man, I look out at this church, I see a multitude of personalities and gifting, and God is calling you onward. You guys are remarkable. And you know what? I can't do what I used to do, but I want to do what God has called me to do. You know, Romans 8 what says, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. So as I talk about gifts of the Spirit and how God wants us to act, I don't want you to feel like you're falling short, because you are, because I am. But I want you to be encouraged that God's saying, guys, we got this. We got this when you trust in me, that we're going to go forward. I like what Galatians 5 says. For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. For the whole law could be summed up in this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. I think it could be even written, love your neighbor better than you love yourself. See, that's where I get freedom. When I give myself to Christ and I let him use me and I don't concentrate on me, and hey, I love me some me, but God is saying, let go. And when I say, yes, God, have your way with me, then it's amazing the peace I have inside. But when I try to figure my life out and plan everything, I get this turmoil inside of me and it builds. And, you know, sometimes I just got to say, okay, Lord, what are you teaching me? Fruitful faith. Faithfulness is lives fully surrendered to God and having our conduct show it. One aspect of this Greek word of faithfulness is being dependable, being trustworthy. Are you dependable? Is your word your word? If I tell you, hey, Aaron, I'm going to pray for you if you have a need, I pray for you right then and there in my head because I know my life will get busy. And I don't want to just say that to somebody and not do it. Are you dependable? When you say, hey, ooh, can I step on some toes today? I will be there at 8 o'clock. Are you there at 8 o'clock? Because if you're not, you're showing people that they don't matter as much. God wants us to be true to our word. God wants us to be trustworthy. See, today's about moving forward. Today's about moving forward and growing in Jesus Christ. You know, the last two fruits of the Spirit are gentleness and self-control. As long as you don't give me hot dogs and donuts, I got a lot of self-control. You know, we have this thing called home group, and we get snacks and stuff. And I'm really good at 4 o'clock because I know I can't touch the snacks yet. But then if they're not kind enough to take everything home and it's still there and my wife goes to bed, oh, Lord, help me, because I could be a pig. Gentleness. You know what gentleness is? It's power under control. It's not being a wimp. Like I said, one of the lessons I learned a long time ago, a gentle answer turns away wrath. When that salesperson is driving you nuts, When somebody is giving you a hard time, don't raise your voice to their level. Keep calm, keep cool, and watch the thing grow. You know, Paul talks earlier in the chapter about the sin nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, jealousy, anger, selfishness, envy, drunkenness, and other sins like these. You see, we see this list of how God doesn't want us to live. You see, and the Holy Spirit sets us free from having to be under that bondage. Now, we're going to fall. We're not going to be perfect. But we pick ourselves up, and we turn to God. We keep trying, and we know we're going to fall short. You see, God knows that we're going to fail, but he's there for us. And we got to stay close to the Lord. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. We need to make the Bible important to us every single day. Not legalistically, but life. It gives us life. We need to be in fellowship to encourage one another. We need to have a prayer life. We need to be devoted so we walk by the Spirit. The more I pray, the more I spend time in God's word, I know what he wants me to do. How does God speak to me? He speaks to me through his word. And he tells me to be gentle. He tells me to be kind. He tells me to have peace. And I'm sorry, when you get a phone call you don't want to get, from maybe it's a health thing, maybe it's finances or whatever, it's hard to have that peace. You get all of a sudden, you're in the sea of turmoil, but that's where you have to step back and say, man, God, I got to rely on you. I got to trust you, Lord. Walk by the Spirit and you will have God's love. You will have joy. You will have peace and patience. You're going to have the kindness, the goodness, the faithfulness, the gentleness, and self-control. Today, I want you to be encouraged. God is asking us to grow. And there's some of you right now, as I'm speaking, God's asking you, you know what? Have you surrendered? I want you to ask yourself, do you pick up your cross daily? Do you go to God and say, Lord, what do you have for me today? But Lord, I want to do this. What does God want? What does God want you to do? We're not going to be sinless. Allow me to get corny. But God wants us to sin less. You're going to mess up. You're going to mess up today because you're a human being that still has the influence of the sin nature. But when we look to Christ, more and more we go forward and we trust him. And God is calling us today. You know, how many people want to see revival in this country? I think we all do. But doesn't it have to do with us giving our life to Jesus Christ, to surrendering our life and engaging with the people that God places in our life? I don't believe God's going to do a Jesus atomic bomb and all of a sudden you're going to see a mushroom cloud and you're going to see all city of Oswego saved. See, I believe it's going to be one little bomb here, one little fire here, as we touch people and we love people. Like Kathy said, that girl that got saved, and she's preaching to people. She's sharing Jesus with the people God places in their life. My last point is we need to commit to being plugged into the right power. Now, I like what Pastor Kyle Eidelman said. Okay, this is my power strip in my office, let's say. That's for my coffee maker. That's for my backup coffee maker, because you got to be careful. That's for my computer. That's for my monitor. That's for my boombox, because I'm an old guy. That's for my heater. That's for my printer. But I got to plug it in. Oh, I know what I'll do. Let's pretend I did that the right way. I'm going to plug this into here. How stupid is that? My question is, why do you do it? Why do you do it? Why do you look at the fruit of the Spirit and think, if I try harder, I can get it? This is you. It's useless. A human being does not have the ability to live the way God wants us to live without being tapped into the Holy Spirit. You know, we hear Operation Christmas Child. I remember years ago, about a decade ago, we had a lady share a testimony in the church. She's working at Kenny's, and the Lord said, hey, I want you to make that woman lasagna. She's going, what? She makes that woman lasagna. She takes it to her house. Her husband goes, you know what? I asked God today, if you're real, you give me some lasagna. I'm sorry. So maybe God's going to be speaking stupid to you, but it ain't stupid when it's him. Maybe God's going to be saying, hey, you know, you don't give people that bag money. Well, you know what I do? I do when I pray. I had a guy come in here a couple weeks ago, and I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? I gave him money. I know what the books tell you to do, but I know what my God told me to do. See, I want God. I want people to see Christ in me. I went to Trader Joe's a couple weeks ago with my daughter and my wife, and I walk out, and this really nice dressed lady said, hey, would you buy me breakfast? So I spared no expenses, Burger King right there. Boom, I brought her breakfast. Why? Because as I prayed, God said, do this. It doesn't make sense for me to buy some well-dressed lady, but I went in, and the cashier goes, hey, Evelyn. Okay, I'm being played. But you know what? I'd be played when God tells me to do something. And this isn't about me. This is about, I want to be committed to the power source. I have done stuff that embarrasses me on the inside, but I know God wants me to do it, and I pray for strength. And there's times God tells me to do something, it embarrasses me, and I fail, and I don't even do it because I'm a weak human being. But then I turn to my Savior. I say, God, forgive me. See, I don't want to be plugged into myself. I don't want to be plugged into the same power strip. I want the Holy Spirit living inside of me. I want to be plugged into God. I want to be a student of the Word. And I would ask you, read through Galatians 5. Spend time there praying, Lord, what works of the flesh do I struggle with? Get an accountability partner. Pray about it and move forward, because God is breathing life to this church today. There's some of you, you've been in secret sin for quite a while. God's saying, well, guess what? Quit making it secret and let's go forward. I like what Pete Mayer said here once. If you sin, repent and move forward and forget about it. God already has. So yeah, maybe you're a failure. Maybe you haven't been the strongest Christian. Look around. There's a room full of us. But God is calling us forward. You see, fruit comes from life. For me to live the fruit of the Spirit, I need to be tapped into the life that comes from Jesus Christ. Colossians 1 says, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. When Paul says, I become all things to all people, it doesn't mean he swears with the truck drivers. It means he doesn't melt when he hears their words, but he doesn't give in. It means that he plugged into the world and he befriends. Like I said, you know, we hung out with some people in the last week that were, I'm conservative and they're not. We had a great time. It ain't contagious. Sin is not contagious unless I choose it to be and I walk in it. I want to reflect Jesus Christ. You know, fruit is meant to be eaten and enjoyed, not put on display. My mother-in-law was a great home decorator. And at Christmas, she had this metal contraption that looked like a Christmas tree, but was made of, you put apples on it. So we go to this big Christmas dinner, and Mel's brother, Donnie, he took a big old bite of it, and he put it back. So everybody comes out, then you see this perfect display, eaten. What do you see? Fruit is meant to be eaten and enjoyed, not just put on display. God gives us this fruit so we can impact other people. Fruit needs the right atmosphere to grow, as I talked about last week. Fruit needs the right climate. If you're not reading the Bible, if you're not in fellowship, if you're not praying, if you're not committed to being the best person you can be in Jesus Christ, then your fruit is growing in the wrong climate. And it's not going to take place. And sometimes if life isn't going the way you think it should, in love, let me say this, that's when you need to pray and say, Lord, you show me if there's anything that I need to correct. You show me if there's anything, Lord, that you can't bless. I love New Covenant. Spiritual fruit will not be produced because you walk in these doors. That ain't never gonna happen. The right climate is commitment to Christ, praying, relying on the Holy Spirit, being led by how the Bible teaches you to live, to when God encourages you to do something, even if it doesn't make sense, to do it. You know, I told you the time it was pouring rain and it was some guy walking down the road and I'm driving home and I'm in a hurry and God told me to pick him up, and of course I knew better, so I kept going till God said, hello. So I pick him up right here and he lived where Chris was sitting. Hey, can I give a ride home? Yeah. I drove literally like 20 feet and there is his house. I'm thinking, God, why? This is stupid. He could have ran and he would have been drier than walking around my car. But I don't know why God had me do that. See, God doesn't make sense to us, but he doesn't have to. I'm so glad God's smarter than we are. We need to be a student of God's word. I'm not talking legalistically. If you need to, start reading a psalm or so a day. But just read through Galatians 5, pray through it with your notebook, and write down what God is talking to you about. The Holy Spirit can give us freedom from sin and self, But it takes us relying on God and not ourselves. We need to rely on being committed and surrendering to the Lord. Summary. Everyone produces fruit in their life. It may not be good fruit. You see, where you place your faith is the fruit you're going to get. Maybe you place faith in yourself. You're going to have fruit that after a while is going to be spoiled, it's going to stink, and it's not going to satisfy you. But when I trust on God, I'm going to produce fruit for Him. Paul informs us how the Lord wants us to live. This chapter isn't a suggestion. God wants your life and my life to portray the fruits of the Spirit. We can't achieve this on our own. We can't rely on ourselves. There's nobody good enough. We need to rely on the Holy Spirit. We need to stay plugged into God. I feel like I breeze through this. Sometimes I get excited and talk fast, but let's pray. Lord, I heard a testimony this week of a young man who went to church, and he started to fall away because he felt like he's always being told where he doesn't measure up. He felt like a failure. Lord, that's not the object of this lesson today. The object is to look at how you want us to live our life. It's like you're up on a higher plane and, hey, come on up. The view's great from here. And I gotta admit, Lord, sometimes it's hard for me to let go and to trust you. Oh, I have great faith for other people, Lord. I can tell them how to trust you, yada, yada, yada. But when it comes to me, Lord, you know the struggles I encounter. You're telling us to trust you, Lord. To trust you with those relationships that aren't going well. To trust you, Lord, when our finances really are bottoming out. To trust you, Lord, when our health has taken a turn for the worse. You want us to be eternally minded, Lord. Father, I think back of a friend of mine that pastored a church years ago. They wanted to build a new church. They had $30,000 saved up, and you told them, give it away. It took some conversations, but the church gave it away, and now, yeah, they enjoy a new church. See, God, you don't have to make sense to us, but we have to have faith in you. That you have called each and every one of us, that you know us by name, that you have given us the exact personality that we are to have. You have given us the exact giftings that we can use to glorify you. Maybe nobody will ever notice. You tell us that you do. You look for us to be faithful, to be reliable people, Lord. At the same time, we are to rely on you, God. Lord, I pray for those that are in need this morning, that you would give them a touch from your hand, Father, that you would encourage them, that you would let them know that you are for them. The enemy likes to tell us something different, that we're a sinner, that we fail, that you're disappointed in us, but you love us unconditionally, Lord. There's nothing I can do to make you love me more or to make you love me any less. Let us know that you are for us today and you're saying to us, just like, Lord, you did to the disciples, pick up your cross and follow you daily. That means to make you the center of my life, to not live to please me, but to please you. I pray, Lord, that we would fully surrender unto you, Lord. Let us stop looking at our own efforts. Let us look to you to guide us, Lord. For when I trust you, then my efforts make a difference. When I place my trust in myself and try to do it by my own strength, I fall short, Lord. And nothing comes out of that that's lasting. So I pray that you would encourage us, Lord Jesus, that we would be kind, that we would be gentle, that you would help us by your Holy Spirit to have self-control, Lord. But I pray, Lord, that we would reflect Jesus Christ to a dying world, that we wouldn't be intimidated by the people you put in our lives, Lord God, but by your discernment, we could touch them and influence them for your eternity, Lord. Bless these awesome people, Lord. In your name, amen.